Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The man that was on the call for games 1 and 2 when the Knicks won was Kevin Harlan, who's the tremendous play-by-play broadcaster. You catch him NBA on TNT. He does NFL on CBS. He also does a ton of radio work for calling football games on Westwood One, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Kevin, appreciate the time, especially on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks so much for doing it, and how you been?
I'm doing well, Zach. Great to be on with you, and anxious to see how this Game 4 turns out in this series. I have no less confidence in what the Knicks can do, nor Boston. And I just heard Tony play the cut from Jaylen Brown talking about you got to win 4 games. Yeah, this is as much a fight for Boston, a defending champion, as it is for the Knicks to break through. And they did with the 2 wins in Boston. We got a big Game 4 tomorrow night for sure. And that may give us more of a compass on where this series is headed.
And quite frankly, you know I love you calling the games. And we're bringing you on today because we need a little good luck here. The Knicks win games 1 and games 2. We need a little juju going into that Game 4 tomorrow night. That's why we bring you on today, Kevin.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I don't know that Boston's going to hit 50% from 3 every game. In the regular season, Boston, and we know they live and die by the 3, and we saw in the first 2 games they couldn't hit. And the Knicks were smart enough, clever enough, good enough to win those 2 games in a very tough environment. But, you know, in the regular season, Boston was 37% from 3. They took more threes. They made more threes than anybody. But their percentage was only 10th in the NBA. And, you know, if I'm Tom Thibodeau, I'm thinking, we've got our style. They've got their style. Let's see what style, you know, comes out on top. And on any given night, if a team's cold, sometimes what the Knicks do by some of their gritty play, some of their rebounding, some of the ways they set up, they can count on a closer. You know, those are pretty good things to hang your hat on. And I think the Knicks feel every bit as confident going into tomorrow night as they did coming into yesterday.
Yeah, and here's also the other thing. They got to show up early. You know, I know that they got away with it in games 1 and games 2. You know it being on the call. Yesterday, when you're down 20, 30 points, you're not going to come back 3 times in a row up against the defending champs. But if the Knicks could just keep this close late, Kevin, I almost trust the Knicks more than I do the Celtics to then overtake the game and have that clutch gene. And that's bizarre to kind of say because the Celtics just won a championship a year ago.
Well, Zach, you just hinted at it. You know, if they can get to the fourth quarter and be within striking range, and striking range is what, 10 points, maybe 9, single-digit deficit would be great. But if you're just within reach getting to that final quarter, and that's kind of what New York did in Boston, that the Knicks were able to stay close and they never wavered in their confidence, and they got the game's best closer, perhaps. They've got, you know, the grit to get things done. They all know their roles. They follow the coaching. They know the scouting report. They know that team as well as any team in the NBA. And vice versa. Listen, This is a defending champion you're going up against with a terrific roster. You know, two all NBA players, kind of like the Knicks. Towns is going to make it. Brunson's going to make it. So they kind of equal each other in that regard. But this is a team that lives and dies. This Boston team lives and dies by that three. And I think it caught people by surprise, thinking when they're not falling, get inside and get a two, get the mid-range game going. But that's not their philosophy. They stick with it. They won 61 games, and they had the biggest target on their back of any team in the NBA this year because they were defending champs. So they have been down this road before. But when you're in a series and the other team is as smart as the Knicks are and has all the components to beat you, as we saw in games one and two, it takes on a different feel. And I think that credit to Boston, they never lost their confidence. And a credit to the Knicks, they never came in with a confidence question at all. They really didn't. I mean, they're not going to blink. They're going to attack tomorrow the way they attacked the first three games, and especially the first two. In fact, they may be more settled down tomorrow. There was a lot of hype in that game yesterday. I mean, you could feel it. I watched it on TV. You could feel it through the screen. I mean, that place was bananas. But now that they're back home, and now that they can settle in a bit and have this day off, I think that they'll come out and like you were hinting at, I think they'll get a better start. They'll keep it close, and game four should resemble, in terms of being close, the way games one and two went.
And also, as Kevin Harlan is here with us, X factors for the Knicks. Yeah, you need more on the offensive end from one of either OG Anunoby or Mikal Bridges. The two of them yesterday, and I know Bridges was great in the fourth quarter of that game too, and his defense has been unbelievable, but those two guys can't combine for only 14 points. As yesterday, Bridges had 12 and OG Anunoby only had two.
Nope, and Josh was off too, right? Josh Hart was, he did not have his typical game. And I think he's the X factor myself. I admire that kid so much. He's clearly not the biggest guy on the floor, but he rebounds like he is. He never blinks. He's constantly playing. He's a two-way player that you can always count on. And he'll play better. Anunoby, you know, had those two back-to-back games, game six against Detroit where they clinched, and then game one. He put up two terrific games in a row, maybe a little outside of his scoring realm, but showing you what he can do. And I would agree with you. They got to get him on track. You know, Cat is double-double every game, consistent, may not have the three-point shooting or may not have the offensive game that you'd like to see that we saw in the regular season, but it's going to come, and I have no less confidence in him. But if Hart is on, if Josh Hart is playing his game, man, the Knicks are tough to beat. I really believe that.
When you look at Mitchell Robinson and this hack-a-Mitch strategy, you know, I know people are not happy with Joe Mazzulla doing it yesterday up 30 points, but if you can't stop it, then I keep on saying, okay, go ahead, it's fair game to do so. But what do you make of this hack-a-Mitch, Robinson strategy?
Well, it's a strategy that we've seen for decades in the NBA, whether it was Shaq or whoever. And when you get a player that really can change a game, and Robinson's rim protection and rebounding can change a game, you've got nothing else you can go at him with except do that. And that's send him to the line, make him a liability, and then put the onus on Tom to figure out, you know, do we keep him in there and keep on this track, or do we take him out and get more offense in there? I mean, I think that what one of Tom's best trademarks is a feel for when the game is sliding one way or the other, good or bad, up or down. I just think that he's kind of got a feel for how to use Robinson. I've contended all season long, though, Zach, they only have this guy for 17 games in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And by the way, his free throw shooting compared to his last 4 years is markedly improved. Huh. I mean, it's hard to believe that when you see what's going on, but it's better. It's better. And I, knowing this kid a little bit and just watching him and the kind of coaching and the environment he's in, that's only going to improve. Whether it improves much in these playoffs, I don't know. But as he goes through his career, he's going to say, I got to make that to stay on the floor, because when I'm on the floor, I'm a difference maker. The plus minus with him on the floor is significant. And that was, I thought it was a telltale in those first two games in Boston, the way when he was in, his rim protection, his rebounding, his presence.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is lane clogging, like all these things, really, really had an impact. And I think we're going to see more of that in the upcoming games in the series.
Wrapping up with the tremendous Kevin Harlan. So I know the Knicks fan, they wake up today and they're like, oh, yesterday was dreadful, but the first two was so sweet. And tomorrow, I really do believe the series is on the line. If the Knicks win, I think they'll go on to win the series. If they lose tomorrow, I think then Boston's going to win. But what was it like for you calling those first two games? Because we're sitting here, we're going nuts, we're jumping up and down like fat kids in a candy store, and you have that courtside view of two just tremendous 20-point comebacks.
Well, I mean, to watch it unfold, it's hard to process when it's going on, because, you know, writers and people that do post-game shows, they've got the benefit of letting the dust settle and getting a chance to kind of absorb, process, and figure out, okay, what numbers do I associate with the comeback? And when it's going on in real time, you're just kind of holding on to the edge of your seat, right? You're just trying to figure out, why is this happening? How is it happening? Can it continue to happen? And those are exhilarating feels, and you cannot escape it. So when it's going, and people always say, well, you sounded like the Boston fans, all you sounded for the Knicks. You know who I'm for? I'm for a great game. I want a great game. I love comebacks, and I don't care who it's by, the favorite or the underdog. I love great games, and those games with these for original NBA franchises, and the history between them, and how much the Knicks fans are looking to quench that desire to advance and be prevalent and make an Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years. I get it, and it's palpable. It you can feel. There were Knicks fans there, some in tears in Boston Garden, watching their team against the defending champion in the second round do what they did. And you can't help, whoever you're rooting for, and I'm rooting for a great game, and I'm rooting for the NBA, but I'm telling you, watching those fans, it hit. You feel it, and that's what I carry from those two games, is how much it means for those Knicks fans who have stuck with this franchise and watched the ups and downs and gone every which way, finally see that kind of performance against that team in that setting. It was amazing. It really was. It was amazing to watch and feel.
So what is your message then, Kevin Harlan, to that Knicks fan today that wakes up that's maybe down in the dumps, even though they're up 2-1, just because yesterday was just one of those games where they got punched in the face and they were out of it real early?
Well, it was going to come up. I mean, this is a defending champion. This is a proud team. Boston is a very proud team. They're trying to get back. They're trying to repeat. I mean, even though the defending champions over the last 6 years – in this second round, have all died. They've all lost. So the message would be, enjoy the process. The journey is great. This is what makes these games so fun, the unpredictability, the singular performance, all these things coming to fruition, building toward this point, trusting the coaching and the maneuvering that they're doing, how the roster was built. They're all healthy, thank goodness. The ankle, we know of Brunson, is not 100%, but the sure. way he goes at it, man, you wouldn't know. I don't know. How is Carl Anthony's thumb? I saw he hurt that yesterday.
So he said it is what it is afterwards. We don't know if he broke a finger or if it's a hand. So he just said it is what it is whenever he was asked, but he made it seem like he was going to play tomorrow. So it makes me, I'm not a doctor. I'm just assuming, you know what happens when you assume, Kevin Harlan. I'm assuming that maybe it was just a broken finger.
Yep, I know it. And so that's something to keep an eye on. But that kid's tough, and he feels the Knicks fan passion as much as anybody growing up in New Jersey. So listen, they get it. I just think this is a marvelous year. I think it's going 7, and if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm feeling great about my team that they did what they did. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling great about what's coming up, and that this is going to be a long series.
All right, before we let you run, let me just head on the two locals in football, and then I'll let you go. The great Kevin Harlan with us Sunday afternoon. Zach Gelb here with you on The Fan. The Jets, they ended up drafting Armin Membu. They didn't go with Tyler Warren, the tight end. They ended up getting Jason Taylor's kid, Mason Taylor, to be their next tight end. They got Garrett Wilson. They got Breece Hall. New head coach, new general manager, but all eyes are on the quarterback in Justin Fields with his third team in his young career. What do you think the Jet fan can expect? And what's in a decent roster for Justin Fields to maybe take on over and see what he could do this year?
Well, I love the feel that that Aaron has given that team. He's been decisive. We're never going to know. But I just think that style of quarterbacking, quite frankly, and he was successful until he got hurt in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and then they made the move to Wilson, right? So we saw his 4-2, 5-2 start with the Steelers. And so he's got it. He's got a lot to prove. He's in a tough market, as we know. And he's dealing with a culture that has not found a lot of success. That's a lot to put on a young quarterback, but I think he's pretty steely. I think that the modern day NFL quarterback is the Lamar Jackson type of, you've got to be able to run. Josh Allen, you've got to be able to stand in the pocket. Jackson and Allen have those components. Mahomes certainly does. I'm not saying Fields is anywhere in that category. I'm just saying that on paper, we know he can run, and he has shown improvement with his passing. And listen, the people that know far more football than me feel that, you know, to get him and sign him to that deal and bring him in as your starting quarterback, they see things on tape that they like. And so I and Fields shows them and they, I say, let's go full steam ahead and see what happens. But it's so hard to project after what they've gone through the last 2 years of Aaron and now seeing a completely different style of quarterback and a new coach. I mean, there's a lot here to digest, and it's going to take a while probably for them to get some traction.
And then the Giants, you got Joe Shane and Brian Daboll on the hot seat. I thought they got the best player in the draft in Abdul Carter. And even though when they moved back up into the first round, I would have liked to have seen them take Shedeur Sanders, they make a call on the quarterback in Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss. You got Russell Wilson on that team, Jameis Winston on that team as well. The interesting part to me, because I don't think the Giants team is going to be really any good, and you know when you're losing and you take a quarterback in the first round, people are going to want to see Jackson Dart play. It's going to be fascinating with Jobs maybe on the line on how long they're going to wait until they hand the ball over to Jackson Dart.
Yeah, it's going to be a while, and I don't know, you know, in Daboll, regardless of how we handled Daniel Jones, and he did get that 1 year out of Jones, and they went on the road, and they won a playoff game in Minnesota. And Brian is a smart guy.
Yeah.
And they felt, that staff felt, that they had to get this draft right. And every metric you see, people judging it, so they've got experience at quarterback. They feel they got their guy for the future. They did a lot of legwork on him. We've read that. We know they dug deep into this kid and sunk their teeth into what he can and cannot do. So I guess I kind of feel like he's going to be given patience, and that's what I think these quarterbacks need. This game is tough. Rarely does a quarterback come in and sparkle. And the fact that he's going to be in that kind of culture and environment, I think, is going to help him. And he played for Kiffin, and Kiffin's a pro-style coach. And I think that's going to help him, too, in his transformation. With both these teams, you know, like, there's a lot to process, right? There's a lot going on. Change of quarterback and new philosophies and trying to push a new narrative. And it's never easy, and both these franchises are trying to do it. The one thing in the NFL, we see teams every single season go from 4 wins to 10 or 11, and how did they do it? We didn't see that coming. Yeah. That happens every season. Every season it happens. So I'm anxious to watch what these two teams do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.